You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And so today, we'll be bringing you a crossover Wednesday edition of Locked On Bears, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. We'll be joined by Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers to kind of get the report from behind enemy lines here. We'll figure out how Green Bay is going to prepare for Khalil Mack. We'll talk about Jimmy Graham and sort of the Packers offense trying to get back into prominence. And of course, their defense retooling a little bit this offseason and where they might stand trying to defend what Mitchell Trubisky is going to throw at them week one. Before we bring on Peter, I just want to update you on the latest and greatest out of Halas Hall. Not a lot happens on a Tuesday, especially not the Tuesday after Labor Day, but the Bears did release their first official/unofficial depth chart of week one, getting ready for Green Bay, like we said. And, you know, based on the 53-man roster, it's pretty easy to kind of guess how that depth chart might stand out, but it is official here with one, I guess, notable would be Mr. Khalil Mack, the new man, the return of the Mack. He's in your starting lineup at outside linebacker opposite Leonard Floyd. Roquan Smith with that second team on the bench there. So I would expect to see more of Khalil Mack than we will Roquan Smith, although I'm curious to see exactly how both of those situation plays out. They certainly are the biggest unknowns, I think, on this Bears defense. And elsewhere, you just look around, James Daniels, obviously the backup across the board on the interior offensive line positions. Kevin White, fourth wide receiver on your depth chart ahead of Wims and Josh Bellamy. And, you know, that's maybe somewhat to be expected, even if it, you know, might not have a huge impact on the game. And they also don't list a backup nose tackle behind Eddie Goldman with Nick Williams at defensive end. So, you know, just a few little things across the roster. Benny Cunningham still listed as the top kickoff returner with Tariq Cohen behind him. And then Cohen is top punt returner with Bryce Callahan as the backup as well there. So, you know, just a couple little things across the depth chart there. Nothing too game-changing. Also, Ben Broniker listed ahead of Daniel Brown at tight end. That one was a little bit surprising to me, but they each kind of have their own roles, and Aaron Lynch is at the bottom of this outside linebacker depth chart because he's been injured and hasn't played. So, you know, just some little notables, I guess, as they get ready for Green Bay. You weren't going to see too many surprises at this point as the regular season is here, but it's just something worth keeping an eye on here. I'd also encourage you to keep an eye on our Locked On Bears voicemail and text line that you can get involved with the show. Share us your Bears thoughts, your Bears questions. Open it up now any day of the week. If you have something you want to share with Locked On Bears, you leave us a voicemail and you give us something good. We'll record it. We'll put it on the show and we'll answer your question. And you can be a part of your favorite daily Chicago Bears podcast. Or, you know, if you just want to text in your questions and get it answered on the show, this is the way to do so. This is the way to be a part of Locked On Bears. The phone number, again, is 312-620-8590. And like I said, you know, whether it's during the week leading up to a game or your reaction during the game and or just after the game, you have questions about what we saw or what we're going to see, I encourage you to, add, you know, as much as you want, call in, text in, leave us your thoughts, and get involved with the show. Again, phone number 312-620-8590. And since we're brought to you by MyBookie today for this Crossover Wednesday podcast, I wanted to actually go a little bit more in depth on some of the betting lines that we've got this week and give some takes on, you know, the growth of sports betting is coming, whether or not you like it or not. And at MyBookie right now, the line keeps changing for this Packers game. Earlier today, Actually, full disclosure, when I recorded our segment with Peter Bukowski, it was an 8-point favorites for the Chicago Bears. It's already down to 7.5 within less than 12 hours. I mean, it's slowly moving more and more in favor of the Bears. But Bears are still underdogs by 7.5 points. The over-under is set at 47.5 total points. And I do think this 7.5 point spot is a good one. You know, Vegas is generally pretty good at setting the lines for this. And I kind of find that range is how I feel the Bears are going to do in this game. You know, without giving away too much here for my own predictions, we'll talk about with Peter. You know, I'm not ready to give the Bears the week one win with as much optimism as there is. And I think you might see Green Bay win by, you know, this type of margin, a touchdown plus. By the time it's all said and done, it'll be a good game. It'll be a fun game, but this is a tough spot. And I would almost take the Packers and the spread here. You know, I think there's a good chance that the Bears can keep it close, but you know, my gut tells me it'll be Packers by a little bit more than 7.5. And when you sit at an over under of 47, you know, if you split that down the middle, that's what 23.5 points per team. I have a feeling this is the kind of game that can either be quite a shootout and both defenses look pretty sloppy, or both defenses are really clamping down and it's a particularly low scoring game. So, you know, I tend to think with Green Bay back with Rodgers healthy and the Bears trying to unveil this big Matt Nagy scheme and trying to throw some new things, I find myself favoring the over a little bit there with the 47.5 that I think, you know, you could see the Packers potentially push up to 30 points and the Bears potentially, you know, in that 20 range and you know, maybe lower 20s for the Bears and upper 20s for the Packers, somewhere around there. And I think that'll push you over that 47.5 and, you know, kind of give you just a general feeling here of where the Bears and Packers stand. And I think straight up with the money line, it's Bears plus 275. So for those of you not that familiar with sports betting, that means if you bet $100, you would win $275 in addition to getting your $100 back, whereas the Packers on the money line are minus 345, which means you have to bet $345 to win $100 extra back in your bet. It gives you kind of a sense of how favored one team might be over the other in terms of the betting line. And, you know, if you're talking straight up and you're going to call the upset, that's not a bad line for the Bears, that plus 275. If you're interested in putting some actual money down on it, I can't recommend mybookie.ag enough. And we've got a great deal here for Locked On Bears listeners. If you go onto MyBookie and enter the promo code Locked On when you first sign up, there's no space in there, just one word, LOCKEDON, Locked On. MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. So you'll have double the money to put down on this Bears team. And of course, you're not just limited to week one against the Packers. You know, they have their playoff bets. Is the Bears are plus 325 to make the playoffs right now. So, you know, with this Khalil Mack hype train building, the Bears keep pushing more and more into that playoff conversation. And that's not a bad number right there. Plus 325 can get you a pretty nice return on investment if things really pan out with Matt Nagy. And you can kind of double down on it with the win totals this year. That they have the Bears over-under for regular season wins set at 7.5. So, I mean, if they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to win more than 7.5 games. And I believe the over on that also has a plus 100 money line. So not only are you getting, you know, you would win from having placed the bet, but you get an extra plus 100 for your bet for having the Bears get over there. So, I mean, that's a pretty solid proposition, especially at 7.5. I feel like this was close to an 8-8 win team without Khalil Mack, and that's honestly something I might put some money down on, because this feels like a better than 7-win Bears team. And like I said, the place to do it, mybookie.ag. Don't forget that promo code Locked On when you sign up, because at MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. So now let's turn our attention here to the Green Bay Packers and bring on Peter Bukowski as promised. He is a writer for SB Nation's Acme Packing Company. You can also find his work on Fansided and really a number of different places across the sports media marketplace. But of course, he is the host of Locked On Packers here on the Locked On Podcast Network. His show is a great way to find out more, not only about the Bears division rival, but this week one opponent this week. And Peter, I'm sure the Khalil Mack trade in Chicago had some ripple effects up in Green Bay. How was this move received up there, kind of behind the enemy lines up north of the border?
Well, I think, you know, obviously when even Devontae Adams is tweeting, wait, but I thought he was coming to Green Bay, like Chicago, really? Because I think there was a lot of momentum for the Green Bay Packers. There were odds. Las Vegas odds had come out that put Green Bay in the driver's seat here. And there's been conflicting reports about whether Green Bay actually offered the two first-round picks that they have in 2019, whether that offer would have trumped what the Bears offered is obviously an open question. I wrote for SB Nation earlier this week that I think Aaron Rodgers' presence means the Packers don't need to take these kinds of enormous risks because a move on the margins for them, because they have Rodgers, elevates those moves because he elevates the players around him. The example I used was Geronimo Allison. Maybe you win the offseason by signing a free agent, but someone like Geronimo Allison, who's going to be the starting outside receiver for the Packers this year, was an undrafted free agent. They developed him. He came in at a minimal cost. And because they have Aaron Rodgers, the whole team is better. And the cost, the value of that player is higher than it would be on other teams. Whereas someone like Khalil Mack, who's going to get $141 million, how much does he elevate this team, meaning the Packers, when it comes to the whole? Aaron Rodgers is the guy that does that. He's the guy that stirs the drink. I think Mack makes a much bigger impact for a team like Chicago that lacks field tilters overall. And then he can be the sort of Aaron Rodgers-like centerpiece for the Bears. I think he makes the Bears more improved than he would have made the Packers, despite the fact that I think he would have made the Packers probably the Super Bowl favorites. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Packers are a Super Bowl contender without Khalil Mack. So if you add a pass rusher like that to that team, I think it would definitely take them up another level. But without Khalil Mack, how do they stand at this outside linebacker position, particularly rushing the passer? We know Clay Matthews has been great in the past, but getting a little bit older, and they've moved him around to inside linebacker and back before. They have Nick Perry, but he's coming off of an injury and has had those issues pretty consistently. And then, you know, a third round pick from a couple years ago, Kyler Fackrell, hasn't really panned out. So, you know, I know this was a position of weakness for the Packers that they wanted to address this offseason. How much of a concern is it still heading into week one?
Well, I think it's the number one concern on this team. And the defense is that's been true for a couple years, unfortunately. If Nick Perry and Clay Matthews stay healthy, it's not a problem. And Reggie Gilbert has come forward. That's probably not a name that Bears fans are going to recognize simply because he was, again, an undrafted free agent. He was a practice squad guy that played his way into the rotation late in the year last year for Green Bay and ended up being their most efficient pass rusher per Pro Football Focus. And so I think from a 1-3 rotation, they like where they are. Reggie Gilbert played really, really well in the preseason, even against number one offensive lineman, destroyed Donald Penn in Oakland. But I think another thing to keep an eye on here is Mike Pettine's nickel formation. And this is, you know, very inside baseball here, but he has been playing with three down linemen and one pass rusher. So Muhammad Wilkerson, Kenny Clark, Mike Daniels, and Nick Perry has been the alignment that he's gone to, with two linebackers and then your extra defensive back, which in this case has been a safety. So if you're going to play that kind of formation and you're really only going to play with one edge rusher or one outside linebacker, really, because Muhammad Wilkerson has been the defensive end, a place that he played in college and a place where he excelled for the New York Jets in his prime, then I think that mitigates the issues you have at outside linebacker if you're the Packers. Now, the problems come in if they have injuries, if Clay Matthews misses 5 or 6 games. Now, he's been healthier of late But Nick Perry is almost assuredly going to be hurt. That's just true every year. So, you know, it is a concern, but I think schematically they were already going to be able to mitigate that with what Patton wanted to do and what Muhammad Wilkerson's versatility brought to this defense. And they improved the secondary in a way that I think is going to help this pass rush. So it's less of a concern than it may otherwise have been for them.
Well, let's talk about that improved secondary in Green Bay. You know, the Bears clearly putting an emphasis on improving their passing game and adding a lot of new weapons this offseason. And Green Bay, you know, the secondary was an issue last year, and they put an emphasis there of their own, tried to sign Kyle Fuller and wasn't able to get him away from the Bears, but instead bring back Tremont Williams, a veteran who's still playing at a pretty high level late in his career. Then, of course, using the first two draft picks on Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson. How much of an improvement are you expecting from this secondary? And do you think that improvement will start right away in week one? Or is this a secondary that will take some time to get better and really grow into its full potential?
Well, I think all of those things can be true, right? I mean, they're rookie corners, and rookie corners are generally bad. But we saw last year, Marshon Lattimore changed the defense for the New Orleans Saints, changed the balance of power, frankly, in the entire NFC. And Tre'Davious White came in and did the same thing for the Buffalo Bills and helped elevate them to a playoff team because that defense got significantly better with him on the field. Now, I don't think I can say with any sort of confidence that Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson are going to come in and be that, because those players were outliers last year. But that doesn't mean that they can't be. Peter King this week picked Josh Jackson to win Rookie of the Year. He had two pick sixes in preseason. Only one counted, but the second one still happened. We still watched it happen. And the penalty that was called to bring the play back had nothing to do with the pick six. So I think what you're going to see is an improved secondary. Kevin King and Devontae Adams have been having these battles in preseason and in training camp. Kevin King looks to be much improved over last year when he struggled. You add in Tremont Williams, who has a pick six of his own in preseason. This is a much deeper and a much more talented cornerback room than the Packers have had. You know, just on pure talent, it's probably the most talented secondary this team has had since Charles Woodson was, patrolling the defensive backfield for them.
Well, we know it's going to be a great matchup for this new Bears offense coming against a retooled Packers defense. But coming up next here on Locked On Bears, we'll switch to the other side and take a look at how well the Packers will be able to handle everything Vic Fangio is going to throw at them. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. We're talking Green Bay Packers here with Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers. I want to move over to the offense now and circling back to Khalil Mack. Obviously, the Bears are going to bring a little bit more heat coming off the edges there. I know the tackle position is the strength of that Green Bay offensive line, but I know Brian Bulaga also is dealing with some kind of injury. Do you know much about his status for this game, and how do you expect that matchup there on the edge to play out?
Well, it was interesting. There was a good thread on Twitter the other day of all of the snaps, the pass rush snaps that Khalil Mack had against the Packers in 2015. And obviously that was the year before his virtuoso 2016 season. He was really good again last year for the Raiders with 10.5 sacks. But Brian Bulaga and David Bakhtiari basically stonewalled Mack for most of that game. And Brian Bulaga is back. He played in the preseason opener. They were very conservative with his treatment, but he basically said in late July he could have been ready. And so he's back. He's healthy. He's going to play week one. He's going to be the starter at right tackle. Now, is he going to be up to par? I don't know, but he's a veteran. He's played hurt before. I don't think he's hurt. I think he's going to be as close to 100% as you know, an aging offensive lineman can be in week one. I think you're going to see Mack on Bulaga a lot because David Bakhtiari might just be the best left tackle in football. So you're going to see the Packers give help. Mercedes Lewis was brought in part because he's an outstanding blocker. So you're going to see tight end chips. You're going to see running back chips. And I said this on my show earlier in the week, even if Mack doesn't get a sack, he will have impacted the game in an important way, because Green Bay is going to have to know every time he's on the field, they're going to have to know where he is, where he's coming from, and who has him, because he's just that talented. Is he going to be rusty? Probably a little. Is he going to be in shape? Probably not where he needs to be. Can he still wreck a game with one play? Absolutely he can. And so Green Bay is going to have to account for him in a meaningful way.
Oh, and I think the Bears are going to have to account for a couple new players on the Packers in pretty meaningful ways. I want to start with Jimmy Graham at this tight end spot. How have you seen them use him in the preseason? I know that might not be indicative of what we're going to see week one, but I guess how much is he going to be in the slot versus outside versus, you know, in motion at the snap? I mean, what's his exact role going to look like?
He's going to be everywhere. And this offense with Mike McCarthy, if you go back and you look at the years where it was just, you know, incandescent with Aaron Rodgers, generally speaking, it's the years and the games where they had a move tight end. You look at 2011 when JerMichael Finley had come back healthy. That offense was as unstoppable as we've seen an offense in the last few years. Even in those later years when JerMichael Finley was not quite the athlete that he was in 2008, 2009. That was a field tilting weapon for the Packers offense. And when the Packers had Jared Cook 2 years ago, the on-off splits for Jared Cook in this offense was startling. When he was on the field, Aaron Rodgers was basically, for the season, but for the snaps, if you look at it, he had a passer rating, I think it was over 124. So, I mean, that is something that I think is the linchpin of this offense, and his ability to play outside. He's going to be basically outside receiver. He's going to play in the slot. He's going to play in line. He's going to play H-back. They're going to line him up everywhere. And it was apparent from day one with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers that Jimmy Graham was going to catch a lot of balls. He was not just going to be a red zone threat. He was not just going to be relegated to red zone duty the way that he had been in Seattle. He was going to be an over the middle of the field threat. He was going to be a third down threat. And he's basically going to be a one for one Jordy Nelson replacement, because on third down and in the red zone, he can win his matchup. And he already has a unique connection with Aaron Rodgers, which is only going to get stronger over the course of the regular season.
So with Jordy Nelson gone, I mean, I think Packers fans are probably more upset about it than they should, given what Jordy Nelson was producing on the field. But in terms of like where the weapons in this offense, I don't want to say rank, but like, does Jimmy Graham kind of become your number one pass target? Not necessarily in terms of what the final production will be, but just in terms of where Aaron Rodgers wants to go? Or is Davante Adams pretty firmly entrenched as the quote unquote number one receiver? And I guess where does Randall Cobb kind of fit in there?
Well, I don't think I should have to tell Bears fans about Davante Adams. Because he was the guy that sort of broke their heart last year in the Brett Hundley game, catches the decisive, essentially, go route down the sideline on third and 10 that Brett Hundley puts absolutely in a perfect place, and Adams makes the one-handed catch, and the game is basically over at that point. Davante Adams is really good. And I think this year, for fantasy football players, you know, he might be wide receiver 4 or 5 in the league in terms of his production. He has clearly ascended to the number one role. He was the only player in this offense last year at the skill positions that not only didn't regress with Brett Hundley at quarterback, but was just as good as he was with Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams is legitimate. He is really, really good. And he is going to be the number one pass catcher in this offense. Now, for as to where Randall Cobb sets in all this, he's playing in a contract year. He's still going to be on the field a ton. And on a per route run basis, and in terms of his passer rating when targeted, he was still really good last year. And that's hard to believe because, you know, he didn't have the numbers that we're used to seeing from him, but he still has really sure hands. And he can create after the catch. We saw it with Aaron Rodgers in that one game that Rodgers played late in the season against Carolina. Cobb made an incredible play for a touchdown. And I think with Jimmy Graham threatening teams down the middle of the field and in the seam, that is when Randall Cobb can really be dynamic underneath. He works the underneath portions of the middle of the field as well as any receiver in the league. And so he can still be a threat in this offense, what is going to be fascinating to see play out, at least in week one, is what's going to happen with the running game. Jamal Williams is the starter. Ty Montgomery is the change of pace back. How much are they able to use them when I think the guy that is their best running back, Aaron Jones, is suspended? I think that's a big break for the Bears, because Aaron Jones is the Packers' most natural runner. He would be getting a lot of carries if he were in the game. And I don't know if they trust those other two guys enough to feed them. When you have Aaron Rodgers, Jamal Williams got a lot of carries with Brett Hundley. Is he going to get a lot of carries with Aaron Rodgers? I don't know.
So as we take a bigger picture look at this game, I know on mybookie.ag, the Packers are 8-point favorites on the spread there. I personally would agree the Packers are the favored team here. What's your prediction? You know, I don't need an exact score, but as far as how close it is, how the game kind of plays out, what are you expecting on Sunday night?
I did see that in some places, after the Khalil Mack trade, that spread dropped a full point. I saw that it was 7.5 and even 7 some places. So just for reference, you can still go to mybookie.ag. We encourage you to do that, obviously. If you think the Bears can make it a closer game, obviously the 8.5 number is better than the 7.5 number. But before the Mack trade, I thought this did have a feeling of a double digit win for the Packers. Something like 31-17, 31-20, something like that. I think it'll be a little harder to get to that 31 number for the Packers with Khalil Mack. Although, you know, what would be your guess for the number of snaps he takes? 25, 30?
Yeah, something like that.
So, you know, I think the Packers are going to throw a lot more on first down to try and get those plays out with Mack not on the field. Just stay out of third and long, and you limit the amount of time that, you know, Chicago can predictably put Mack on the field. It's hard for me to see, without knowing what this Bears offense is going to look like, I don't see them being able to run the ball on the Packers defense. They weren't able to do it last year effectively, and this run defense is going to be really good. Lauren, I was telling my editors at SB Nation today, I think they're going to be the best run defense in football. And I think that's really going to make things hard for this Chicago offense. It's hard for me to see Chicago get to 20 in terms of points. And it's hard for me to see the Packers scoring fewer than 24. So I think 27-17 is where my mind is right now. I think the Packers win and they cover.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty similar range for myself personally, that I think the Packers will feel comfortable enough by the end, but I think the Bears will put a pretty good scare at them. Peter, I appreciate you joining me on the podcast today. Tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter and what you bring to the Locked On Packers podcast if they dare want to go listen to the rival.
Well, I was telling you before we came on, I have at least one Bears listener who is a Bears fan but listens to the show. I don't know if it's a hate listen. I don't know if it's like when conservatives listen to liberal talk radio. I don't know. But you can certainly do that at Locked On Packers. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. We do have a fan hotline if you want to send a text, 920-341-3775. I don't get pictures if anyone thought they would be funny. So, you know, you can don't do that. But I'm also at SB Nation, fan-sided, Pro Football Weekly, Ozzy, anywhere you can find sports online, you can probably find my byline there. So, yeah, but definitely on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski.
Oh, I appreciate you coming on, Peter. Great stuff.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thanks again to Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers for joining us on this crossover Wednesday edition of Locked On Bears, brought to you by mybookie.ag. If you enjoyed our conversation and our look at week one, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast listening app it is you have on your device. I appreciate all of the kind reviews that we get on iTunes and wherever it is you can review our podcast, whether it's just feedback on Twitter or, you know, even just telling a friend about Locked On Bears. Every little thing you do that helps the podcast is much appreciated. And if you want to get involved, I remind you again, the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, it is 312 620-8590. And again, it can take voicemails, it can take texts. I don't think it takes picture messages, so don't try anything funny there. But, you know, you can get your Bears questions in and we'll answer them on the podcast. Or if you just want to share your reactions to the game, previewing the game, during the game, after the game, you name it. The voicemail and text line is your way to get involved with Locked On Bears. Hope you'll keep it locked here on your favorite daily Chicago Bears podcast. I truly enjoy bringing you the latest and greatest out of Halas Hall, and I hope it gives you a good reason every single day to bear down.